Hallelujah. When God is on the move, everything moves. And in this seventh month, it will move on your behalf. Amen. Therefore, appreciate him again this morning. Lift up your hands. Celebrate him. Appreciate him. Ask him to move in your life. Ask him to move in your direction. Ask him to move in everything that concerns you. Ask him to move on your behalf. Father, when you move, everything moves. Move on my behalf again. Move in my direction. In this seventh month, do what only you can do. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
The seventh month is the month of perfection. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4, this is what happens when perfection comes. He said, and the ark rested in the seventh month. That means rest is coming for someone this month. Rest is coming to you this month. Rest is coming to you this month. When God moves in our favor, then we are at rest. When he's working on our behalf, we go to rest. Everyone that is agitated is because God is not working for you, or you have not allowed him to work for you. When we hand things over to him, then we go to rest. We go to sleep when he's working. Rest is coming to you this month. Rest is coming for you this month in the name of Jesus the Christ. Help me and celebrate somebody again this morning for seeing the first Sunday of the second half. The first Sunday in the month of July, the first Sunday in the second half. Say congratulations. This month shall be your month in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put those hands together for the Lord and please be comfortably seated. Glory to God. Be reminded of the prophetic theme for the month. Unveil supernatural breakthrough is my heritage. Supernatural breakthrough is my heritage. Somebody will experience supernatural breakthrough this month in the name of Jesus Christ. And our teaching series that we are commencing this morning is Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love, Part 1A. Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love. And this will be Part 1A. And let me start this morning by saying, the result of loving God, as we have heard from that reading of the prophetic theme, is breakthrough on all sides. The result of loving God is breakthrough on all sides. When the love of God is at work in us, great things begin to happen on their own accord. Great things begin to happen. Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know. It is not, we are not guessing. This is what we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When a man is truly and genuinely in love with God, strange things happen to them on their own accord. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, which is our anchor scripture for the month. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, it says, but as it is written, for them that love God, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. It says, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He has already prepared them. He will just be unveiling them as long as you can see our genuine love for him. Lovers of God need not ask for nothing from God. Things happen to them on their own accord. Breakthroughs on all sides. Breakthroughs in every area. To the point that people will be looking at you and be saying, is it only you? They will not understand where you are coming from. You know what God's servant said many years ago? He said, read my books. You can read all the books that I've written. But you can never know my secret except you see my heartbeat for God. You can only know my secret for God when you see my love for him. And that's why things are happening to me anyhow. Jesus said to Peter in John 21, 15 to 17. He said, when they are dying, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And then he said unto him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You know all things. Peter, I need to confirm your love so I can manifest myself to you. So it's not about I love God, saying I love God, like we have heard from, it says, those who love God know they do. Those who love God know they do. Even God also knows those who love him. Glory to God. So it's not like I love him. It's a matter of, yeah, prove it if you do. Prove it. When his love was confirmed, his lover could not leave him in prison. Peter began to see the manifestation of the supernatural. There were things that Peter was not praying for, but because of his love for God and his love confirmed, things began to happen to him on their own accord. Acts 12, 10 to 11, they put Peter in prison, but God, his lover, could not leave him in prison. The Bible says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. There is an expectation that they have of you. But he said, he will turn it into your favor. Amen. That's why he said in Romans 8, 28, again, if you read it. And we know, Peter said, of a surety, now I know. In prison. He said, of a surety, now I know. So Romans 8, just confirming Romans 8 and verse 28. He says, for we know, and we know, that all things work together for good. For them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, what the manifestation of the Jews in Acts 12, 11 that was read. And when Peter was come to himself, now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel. And what the expectation of the Jews and Herod was, he has turned it for my good. They thought I was going to die in prison. They thought when they bring me out of prison, it is to the killing place. But he said he has turned it for my good. No matter the expectation or your situation, current situation right now, God is turning it to your good. Amen. Your lover will change your story. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Lovers of God, listen to this. Lovers of God are grafted to divine. And being grafted to divine results in exploits. Lovers of God are grafted to divine. What does that mean? Romans 11, 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So when we are grafted into something, whatsoever is the benefit of that tree, we become partakers of it. Whatever we are grafted into, engraftment entitles us to be partakers of the root. Now look at this very quickly, because I took a time to take a look at the tree. The tree, every tree has a root. Am I making sense? But there are two important things about the root of a tree. Two very important things about the root. Roots absorb water and minerals and transport them to the stems. So whatsoever the stems are partaking of, it is because the root has transferred it to the stems. The root partakes the roots. So if the root, that's why the Bible said that if the root be destroyed, you remember every time we are praying, we are attacking the root. We are attacking the root because a tree cannot still die as long as the root is still in the ground. A tree will still live. He says it's just a matter of time. If it smells water, the root will bud again. So what does that mean? It means roots give life to the stem. Number two, roots also store food. Roots store food for the stem. That means everything that gives life to the tree is in the root. Whatsoever gives life to the tree is in the root. No wonder Job 14, 7 to 9 says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant." That means no matter how miserable a man's life is, as soon as he's grafted to the root, to the tree. Who is the tree? Jesus. As long as he's engrafted to the tree, what his life begins to take shape based on the tree. So it doesn't matter what your life looks like right now. We have been engrafted. And engrafted simply means we partake of the blessings of the tree. As long as the root is intact, there is hope for the tree. And the branches never struggle as long as they are attached to the tree. Attachment to the tree is what makes the branches flourish. Romans 11, 17, it says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree." So what does that mean? Genuine lovers of God manifest the virtues of the vine. Those who truly love him cannot lack the nutrients when they are engrafted to him. Whatsoever benefit is in the tree, engraftment makes us partake of it through genuine love. May the Lord give us understanding. But very quickly, what is love? What is the proof of our love for God? What is love? Number one, quickly this morning, when we serve God and the interest of his kingdom with delight. With delight. 1 John 3:18. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let us not love just in word. In other words, prove it. You say you love God, prove it. Let us love him in truth and in deed. Anybody can say, "I love you," but true lovers don't just say it. True lovers act it. True lovers act it. One way to prove the sincerity of our love for God is in service. Remember, Peter, you said you love me. Prove it. It is not just by mere words. Prove it. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of our love." To prove, anyone that says we love God, prove it. How do we prove it? By serving him genuinely from our heart. Not being coerced to serve, not serving because of position, not having any form of motive in service, just serving him because of love. Number two, what is love? When keeping his commandments becomes a delight. when keeping his commandments becomes a delight. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Having it is not equal to keeping it. You can have it and not keep it, but it says a proof that you love is that you have it and you keep it. You have it and you keep it. Everybody may have it. Only true lovers keep the commandments. True lovers. How can you say you love me when you don't do what I say? Glory to God. Even scripture speaking, he said, a father has two children, and he says to one, go and do this thing for me. He says, I won't go. He says, but at the end of the day, he went and did it. And then he said to the other one, go and do this thing for me. He said, I'm going. And then the Bible says, he didn't do it. He says, which one truly loves the father? The one that said, I'm not going, but eventually went and did it. You can't tell your child to do something, and they don't do it. And when they don't do it, you know how you treat them. Really? I told you to do this thing. You still haven't done it. Oh, I forgot. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And he still hasn't done it. Keeping my commandments is a proof of your capital love for me. A father said to his son, stand up from there. He said, I'm not standing. No, he said, sit down there. He said, I'm not sitting down. He said, I said, you should sit down. He said, I don't feel like sitting down. He said, if I catch you now. He said, then he sat down. He said, well, I'm just sitting down physically. Inside, I'm still standing. What does that mean? It means I'm not, you don't clap for children like that. You don't clap for that kind of a child. And so what does that scripture, what's the scripture saying? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Number 3, what is love? When serving his interest on the earth becomes a delight. Now, this is different. There is a difference between serving him and serving his interest. There are two different things. For example, God loved the world, the Bible says. Now, look at what he did. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth on him, in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, take note. God is simply saying, my decision to give not my all, but my only. I didn't give my all. I gave my only. So God says, my decision is because of my interest that no one should perish. My interest that no one should perish is the reason I gave my only, not my all. I gave my only so that I can reap all of you. I gave my only. Why? Because of my interest. I am doing it because of my love for all of you. If you love me, you will also serve my interest. That's why I said there, or that's why it said there, when serving his interest on the earth becomes a delight. So what is his interest? To see souls saved. He said in John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And not only did I choose you, I ordained you that it should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should abide, and that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Peter, you've always claimed to love me. Do you? That was what brought about that conversation. Do you love me, Peter? He said, I love you. Serve my interest. To prove that you love me, serve my interest. What is my interest? I don't want to see souls dying. My interest is to see souls saved. on the earth. A proof that we love him is that we will serve his interest on the earth. Number four, what is love? When we live a God first lifestyle. When we live a God first lifestyle. This one is difficult here because nobody wants to live. Many people, a lot of people, it is job first. Living a God first lifestyle. People will even tell you, are we not going to pay bills? Won't we walk to pay bills? He said, well, a proof that you love me is that you will live a God first lifestyle. What does that mean? That even before you pick that job, you are thinking God first. He's the one actually helping you to decide which one to pick. As long as that job clashes with him, you are saying, I'm not doing again. You know, but no, Pastor, no, I can't say that. Why? Because in this part of the world, you got to walk 3 Sundays in a month. That's not true. That may be the pattern, but what your heart says is what God puts in your hands. I've heard and seen people who made up their minds that I'm not going to do this anymore, and God changed their story. I've seen people, there was one lady in those days, some time ago in one of the churches I pastored, she had a teaching like this, and then she determined in her heart, she's still a nurse, registered nurse, and then she's determined in her heart, I'm not working Sundays anymore. The first Sunday that she made that decision, she was dressing up for church when this call came in. Can you get here? We will pay you 3 times. What we usually pay. She said it was tempting. Glory to God. 3 times the pay. You know, your head will begin to calculate what you will do with that money. This is what I can do. And then she said, no, I've decided on serving God on Sundays. I'm not going back. She said, I told them, no, I can't do this. God first lifestyle. God first lifestyle. Matthew 22:36-40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the first. With all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When the love of God rises above our love for our businesses, when the love of God rises above our love for our jobs, when it rises above our personal needs, when the love of God, everything comes second, God coming first. In soccer, There is always the first 11. The first 11 are the ones that go to play the soccer. They throw them every time. They say they are first 11. There are people who are in reserve. The reserve, like I said, are just waiting and praying to also shine. Nobody wants to sit on the bench. They are also praying and praying, praying to the point that they are praying that one of them should break their legs, so that I can come in and shine too. But you see, the day you make a first 11 sit on the bench, his head begins to calculate on how to leave the club, because he knows that he's losing it. God, if a man does not want to be second, why would you think that God wants to be second? Before you think of God first, there are people who the only reason they are coming to church is to get something from him. The day they get it, that's the day they live again. It's not about God at all. It's about what they want. It's about what they need. It's not about, you know, the best thing to do for your wife is sometimes not to buy a gift. And women are looking at me now like, what is he talking about? It's not about buying a gift. It's about sitting her down and just saying, you know how much I love you? You are my first in everything. The head begins to swell. I know women, you give flower to, they will use the flower and give it back to you. What is this one? What do I want to do with flower? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Making God first in all things. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? True love puts God in us and we in him. Every time we proclaim our genuine love for him, it puts God in us and us in him. And one in love is in God. Anyone that is in love with God, God lives in him and he lives in God. That means when we are in love, we are in breakthrough. And breakthrough is in us because breakthrough, God is breakthrough. So every time or any time we are in love with God, it means we are in breakthrough and breakthrough is in us. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Anyone that is in love with God lives in God. God lives in him. God is breakthrough. So that means Romans 8:31 comes into effect. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, if God be in us, if we are in God, who can be against us? It means we genuinely and automatically manifest breakthroughs. Nobody will be denied their dream job again. Amen. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? Number two. True lovers makes true servants, and sold out servants naturally command supernatural breakthrough. True lovers makes true servants, and true servants are sold out servants. That means there is nothing you tell them that can stop them from in service. He had 12 disciples, 12 servants, Mark 3 and verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. And this is the proof that they were 12 awesome servants. Mark 10, 28 to 30. These are the 12 true servants. He said to them in Mark 10, Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all. That is, we have made you first. We have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, yeah, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. He will not only experience breakthrough on the earth, he will still breakthrough in heaven. Eternal life. We didn't pay attention to what other people were paying attention to. We have made you first. And he said, because you have made me first, I will make for you first. I will make you first. You have made me first, I will make you first. Someone's story is about to change this time. I said, somebody's story is about to change this time. Paul said, I have made you first. All those things that I counted as loss, they were actually gain. Philippians 3, 7 to 14. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. And we can't fake it. Anyone that fakes love, it will show. You can't fake love for God. In those days in Kaduna, when I was working in the bank, I would, when it is 6 o'clock was when service starts. By 5:30, I'm already telling my manager I have to leave. This is service time. Today is service time. He's a Muslim. That's when he will gather all manner of work and give me. Just so I don't leave. But because in those days, I didn't even know what I was doing. I just loved Jesus and loved going to his house. I won't touch that thing until tomorrow, sir. I won't touch it. He was not ever able to stop me one day. One day when I was leaving, he said, no, Yemi, if you leave today, I said, you pray 7 times in this office. Who stops you? Well, nobody stops you. You go, you just pray, you come back, you still take your break. Did anybody stop you? I said, you can't stop me. And I will go. One day, the general manager for the region came. He was the general manager himself telling me, because I was not there when they were doing their meeting. He said, I asked Demola, how is that boy doing? He said, sir, that boy is good at what he does. He just has strong head. That's the only thing. He's good at what he does, but he has strong head. And I asked the man, did you ask him what the strong head was? He said, I shouldn't go to church. Why can you stop? Did I stop him from doing his own thing inside the office? You can, when you fake it, it will show. Look at when they try to fake it. Acts 19. The real ones will manifest the supernatural. The fake ones will see the other side of the supernatural. Acts 19, 14 to 17. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. Who are you? And the man in whom the spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When we are truly in love, we will manifest the supernatural. When we are faking the love, God forbid, is the other side. From now, you'll be baptized into true love for him. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. True lovers end up as living wonders on the earth. True lovers end up as living wonders on the earth. True lovers end up as living wonders on the earth. True lovers end up as living wonders on the earth. In this season, our love for God will be rekindled. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
And you know, today is our encounter with destiny. Good news. Take note, every child of God is a child of destiny. Every child of God is a child of destiny. Ephesians 1, 11 to 12. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Every child of God does not possess an ordinary destiny. Every child of God, every born-again child of God has not an ordinary destiny. I'm going to give you 4 things that your destiny that is included in your destiny. Number one is that you have a glorious destiny. It is not an ordinary destiny. That means your destination is a glorious one. You possess a glorious destiny. Romans 8, 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. That means we have a glorious destiny in Christ. It is not an ordinary destiny. It is a glorious one. Tell yourself, I have a glorious destiny. That it doesn't look good for you doesn't mean it is not designed to be good. It may look like nothing now, but the design is glorious. The design is glorious. You know, when you see the design of a building in paper, it's not always what it looks like during construction. I mean, you understand what God is saying? You see the design of a building on paper, they will put all manner of things there. You know, the design, even the, what is that thing, other one called? Architects that are here. They will build that thing and make you see what it will look like. They will use some things to build it and make you, as you are seeing it, you want them to finish it now. Why? Because it's beautiful. But during construction, you don't want to stay there. It looks ugly. There are planks everywhere. There are nails everywhere. It doesn't look good at all. For some of us like this, we don't even know where the living room is. We don't know. It doesn't make sense at all. But come back when it has been completed. Your destination may look like nothing is happening, but it's glorious. See the end. See what the architect built. See, don't look at now. It is still under construction. And because it's under construction, it looks dirty. It looks muddy. It doesn't look like what you saw. What you are looking at is not what you are celebrating. You are celebrating what you saw. Because it's glorious. Tell your neighbor you have a glorious destiny. Not only is it glorious, number two, it is an enviable destiny. It's not just a glorious destiny, it is an enviable destiny. Your destiny looks like an uncompleted building now, like I said, but when the building is completed, the people who are living around the area want to say, wow. They are already saying, wow, that's how I will build my house. It's an enviable destiny. I remember in those days when all my friends were in school and I was roaming around the streets of Lagos and Ibadan. I would trek from, what was I looking for? Nothing. I would be trekking everywhere looking for nothing, looking for what is not lost. And we had a group of friends, you know, the people you work with, nobody was looking, going anywhere. We were not going anywhere, we were just roaming the streets and roaming everywhere. One day, I saw a friend of mine who was inside her 505 full AC. I dodged. What? That's when I knew. See, at that time, it looked like nothing. I wasn't even born again at the time. It looked like nothing. But when I became born again, I knew that I was going somewhere. I've overtaken some of them. Almost all of them have overtaken. Why? It's an enviable destination. Enviable destiny. It may not look like it now, but what you see is what you get. See it. See what is there. See what is there. Now look at this. Genesis 26, 12 to 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land
and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord what? Blessed him. And the man waxed great. The man went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds. And what? The stuff. Servants and the Philistines envied him. But that was not the beginning. Look at the beginning. Genesis 12, let's now go to verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And in verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of the by which his father had called them. Now, let's go to verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. He didn't fight for it. He just left it for them. Verse 21. They digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. For he said, now the Lord hath made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. Minimum. 5 times the dog, but Isaac would not give up because Isaac knew who he was. Hey, people may have been striving with you right now, it's because they have seen your glorious and enviable destiny. They know, they have seen your destination. You can't give up. Tell your neighbor, you can't give up now. Galatians 4:28, for now, brethren, as Isaac was, we are also the children of promise. So if God says so, that's what you will see. Not only is it about destiny glorious, not only is it enviable, number three, it is a prosperous destiny. You were not redeemed to be broke. Eh? How many believe that? You were not redeemed to be broke. You have a prosperous destiny. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our destination is not only glorious, is not only enviable, it is prosperous. Anyone living in poverty, it is called double jeopardy. He already paid for it. You don't have any business living in it. He already paid for it. You have a prosperous destiny. Say to yourself, I have. Say it properly. Our poverty destination was exchanged for his prosperous destination. No one here will be called poor again.
Amen.
Not only is it glorious, not only is it enviable, not only is it prosperous, you have a royal destiny. That's number four. We have a glorious destiny. We have an enviable destiny, a prosperous destiny. We have a royal destiny. That means we are royalty. You know that, you remember that song? We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were begging before, but not anymore. Not anymore. We have a royal destiny. We have a royal destiny. Revelations 5:9-10. And they sung a new song.
What is that song? We were the beggars. Now we are royalty. He said, saying thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us all to our God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign. Our lives were dirty, but our destination is royalty. We had a dirty life, but our destination is royalty. Glory to God. Let the royals shout amen.
Amen.
But how can we realize our glorious destiny? How can we realize our enviable destiny? How can we realize our prosperous destiny? How can we realize our royal destiny? That is number one, by revelation. Until you see it, you can't be it. By revelation. Nobody knows what they are entitled to until they are aware of it. In any organization, you don't know what you're entitled to until HR sits you down to tell you, and they won't even tell you all. You have to discover the rest. Genesis 13, 14 to 15, God said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, what you see is what I will give into your hands and to thy seed forever. You can't handle what you can't see. Nobody can handle what they cannot see. Revelation gives you insight, and insight shows you what you are entitled to. You can't handle what you can't see. Acts 20 and verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. The word of God will build you up. Revelation will build you to the point of access. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. For example, we are destined for a life of continuous progress. But that is also realizable by knowledge, revelation. In other words, you may have achieved something today. That's not the limit again. God wants to take you to the next place again. But until you see, you can't be. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Jeremiah 11:12, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. What you see is what he performs. What you can see. Until you are able to see it, you will not be able to handle it. I had an awesome time with some of the pastors after the covenant hour of prayer on Thursday. And we were just there, gisting and talking. And I was saying some things to them. And I said to them, if you can see it, what I'm saying now, you will touch it. You will touch it. If you can see it, you begin to take steps to be it. You begin to take steps to handle it. If you can't see yourself prosperous, you will continually live in poverty. If you can't see yourself progressing, you will remain on the same spot and think you have arrived. Until you see, you cannot handle. Glory to God. So let me ask you, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a glorious destiny? Are you seeing an enviable destiny? Are you seeing a prosperous destiny? If you see these things, no man can limit you. Nobody can tell you they don't do it here. They will start with me. Nobody can tell you, no, this is your limitation. You are going somewhere. But what does it take to access the treasures that secure our glorious destiny? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. If you are in him, he's in you, he will begin to do some things that you naturally cannot get. Being born again gives life, and life is light. When we see, if we are to see, we need the light to see.
Those who are not in the light will just be taking a look at the world and just be reading as a storybook. Those who are light, light will be popping up from it. Be born again. Number two, walk in the fear of God. Walk in the fear of God. Walking in the fear of God simply means you're handing everything over to God and you're not looking up to man or looking down to man. You're looking only up to the King of Glory. Number three, stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. Not hit and run. Glory to God. You come today, you hit it, you run. And then something happens again, you run back again. No, that's not what true lovers do. Glory to God. I see light changing your story. I see your story changing already in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what will happen to you in this seventh month. In this seventh month, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So somebody here, you have circled that mountain long enough. It is time to turn northward. Turning northward simply means you are turning to God. And turning to God means God turning to you. And when God comes, it changes stories. How many people's stories will change this month? Rise up on your feet. Somebody whose story is changing in this seventh month of perfection. Rise up on your feet and give him thanks and praise. Give him glory and honor. Give him all adoration. Magnify him. Exalt him. Father, we thank you because my story is changing. This month, my story is changing. This month of July, I will serve you. I will prove that I love you. Covenant hour of prayer, 12 noon prayer, evening prayer hour, 6 p.m. I will prove that I love you. And then you will return by changing my story. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Somebody is there this morning that wants to say, Lord Jesus, because we said this is where it starts from, be born again. Somebody wants to say that this morning, to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. I want to finally hand over myself to you. Another person wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I did know you before, but I walked out on you. And now I want to return. All heads bowed and all eyes closed now. If you're in any of those two categories, put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my personal Lord and my Savior. So that I can receive a glorious destiny. I can receive an enviable destiny, a prosperous destiny. Lord, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Somebody else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life this month. Why not put your right hand on your heart? If you're in any of those two categories, let me pray with you. If you are doing that very quickly, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards to the praise and to the glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You said that prayer on ground. Wave your hands to Jesus wherever you are. You said that prayer, church. I thought you were clapping. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now and someone will be by your side to assist you. Glory to the name of the Lord.